Delighted to have you with us this morning. So, the scripture that probably most of the world would recognize is John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And we believe that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. But there are a lot of people in the world who hear this: God so hates the world that he had his son killed. And that's a vision and an understanding that even some Christians have had over the years, that God despises the world. He hates his creation. It's just gone amok. It's just horrible. But in reality, it's not biblical. When you look at the scriptures, God created the cosmos. Much of his creation that has yet even to be discovered, he created it all. And at the end of every day, he said, "It is good." And then on the sixth day, when he created women and men, he said, "It's very good." And at the end of the creation, he said, "It's very good." And he's never changed his mind. And in the scripture reading that was read to us today, that's the intent of what Paul is trying to share. Even though it was like 2,000 years ago, he said the universe is ever growing and God's going to do something very special with it, just as God is doing very special with each one of us individually. And then he asked the question, can we eagerly wait for this with patience? Which almost seems like an oxymoron. We can't wait for this to happen. So I'm going to try to take those thoughts and kind of mold it around the great father of all fathers. Happy Father's Day to all. So let's just take a moment to stand up where we are, to greet one another, to welcome one another, and then we will get back into the word. Special hug to all fathers. Well, a good number of us, we're missing our fathers, even though they've gone on ahead. Many of us feel them very closely in our presence. We feel their presence in our presence. Such a thin line between the here and the there. And one of the great truths of Scripture and of all reality is that we will be together again. And this is God's theme all throughout the Bible, that what he created will be redeemed, it will be restored, it will be renewed. Those things that we have loved and lost will be gained again, that death is not the end, but that God brings us all together. So some of you may have had this experience of on Christmas Eve or early Christmas morning, you may have had a father who worked shift work. And Christmas wasn't quite Christmas until Dad got home. And even though there's gifts underneath the tree, and as little children, eyes large and anxious, not being very patient, we would hear these words, "Wait until your father gets home." Now, we have heard those words previously, "Wait until your father gets home." We didn't like those words. But we did like the words of "wait until your father gets home." Well, how long, Mom? How long do we have to wait? How long? And it just seemed torturously long. And the Bible gives this same thought when it comes to God fulfilling all things. And even some 2,000 years ago, Paul is making this clear. How long do we have to wait? And he says, wait for it eagerly, and yet wait for it patiently. And this is a theme all throughout the scriptures of what God is wanting to be fulfilled. In all creation, we wait for it. It says the creation itself, the cosmos itself, groans as in the pains of childbirth, waiting for itself to be liberated from the bondage that it now finds itself in. Wasn't that way from the beginning, and it won't be that way again. In Ephesians, it says, waiting for God the Father to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under Christ. Or in Colossians 1:19, waiting for God the Father to reconcile all things on earth and things in heaven under Christ. So I just want to spend a couple of moments today on Father's Day, reminding us of what our Father has promised all of creation. And I'll move quickly and rather briefly today. In Isaiah chapter 2, we have this beautiful description of a forethought in sight. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the last days. By the way, the last days means, always has meant, from the time that Christ was on the earth, the last days. Don't let anyone frighten you by saying, we are in the last days. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. Hebrews chapter 1 and other scriptures tell us this. But here's his thought. The mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills. And I love this. And all nations will stream to it. That God is not a hating God. He's wanting to bring all people together. And one of the really cool stories in the Bible is found in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah always has this forward look. And it's of a man who, by the name of Isaiah itself, and this happens to him. Maybe you can find yourself somewhere in the story. I know I did. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I just want to stop. So here's Isaiah, a servant of God, a prophet of God, who's always believed in God, but Uzziah was the king of Israel, and he was a revered king. He was a great king. He was a powerful king, but people loved him. He had a heart for people. He had a heart for God. In fact, all Israel kind of had their hopes and dreams on King Uzziah that he might be the one who will ultimately fulfill all of Jerusalem's hopes and dreams. And he dies. And it seemed like when he died, the hopes and the dreams of Israel died. Even Isaiah was devastated by this man's loss. He was a swashbuckling hero. And yet, here's what happened to him. So I'll read it again. In the year King Uzziah died, and I'll add this, and everyone was despondent and depressed, I saw the Lord. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you. That at some monumental time in your life, whether it was horrible or whether it was beautiful, and even though you've heard about God and spent time reading God's word, something happened inside you where you felt the presence of the knowledge of God. Does that resonate? Not that you just know about what he said, but all of a sudden what he said came to you personally. And now it's just you and God. We probably have all had those moments. Isaiah did, and he was overwhelmed with it all. And he kind of repented in verse 5 when he said, woe to me, I am ruined, I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips because my eyes have seen the King. I'll put the word Father in there. The Lord Almighty. In other words, it's like, I've lived this religious life, Isaiah said, but I never really knew God. And now I've just got this glimpse. And his trust went from Israel to God himself. God gives this picture that he's not sleeping, that he's not tired, and that he's active in fulfilling all things that he's wanted to do. And so he gives us pictures in Isaiah chapter 11, he tells us a couple of things that I think is unique. He says, on my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That one day when God renews and redeems all things, we never have to say to our neighbor, know the Lord, because they know the Lord. Listen to what Jeremiah says. No longer will they teach their neighbors or say to one another, you need to know the Lord, because they will all know me, God says, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. Won't that be cool? That one day, when the redemption of all things takes place, we will be part of this. And so there's our lesson for today, for Father's Day. And I know that special days like Mother's Day, Father's Day, and various other days, some people are thrilled, some people are sad, some people have never really enjoyed those days because of something that's happened in their life. But I always feel that on any of those days, there's something that we can learn. If you happen to grow up in a family where father was absent, it's a lesson that you're not going to be absent, or that I'm not going to be absent. If you grew up in a home where the father wasn't very loving, it's a motivation that I want to be loving. Or if you grew up in a home where father was present and father was loving, it's a reminder that you're going to be present and then you're going to be loving, that we can take from our father everything that we can learn. And I know that as I'm talking about this, maybe your mind is thinking about your own father. I think it would be really cool if every single person could get up behind the microphone this morning if we had enough time and you just say something about your father. Some people, it'll be humorous. For some, it'll be sad. For some, it'll be life-changing. But what I want to leave today for all of us is that even though we may be missing our fathers, as God has promised, he so loves all of us and loves all of creation that not only is the redemption of all things going to take place, we will be part of it. Can we wait for this eagerly and yet patiently? And as we wait, may we be the grace-filled, loving people that God has called us to be. And this morning, I am remembering my father. He is so close, even though he's been gone for a while. And I'm sure many of you feel the same. So all of us can say from the lessons that we've learned, thank you, Dad, and thank you, Father. Amen.